This is Adam Fenderson for EnergyBulletin.net. Jerry Glover is trying to change the course of agricultural history. Through the Land Institute, he is involved with a project to try to create perennial grain varieties, a first in 8,000 years of agriculture. I spoke to Jerry at the 15th Congress of the International Federation of Organic Agriculture Movements in Adelaide, Australia, on the 22nd of September 2005. We began by talking about the impact of the peak in global oil production.
Yeah, it's peaked. I believe it's peaked. If it hasn't peaked, we're talking about just a little bit above what's already... I mean, we're a plateau at best.
You're talking about food production? Or
no, oil.
Yeah. Or possibly both.
Yeah, exactly. I think... And it's, I guess, an educated insight. I don't know for certain, but I think organic proponents underestimate the incredible global subsidy that is received from the industrial infrastructure of the world, and we'll find out just how deeply embedded organic production is in the industrial system over the next 20 years, I think. Barring development of cold fusion or something like that.
Mm-hmm. But even then you wouldn't have the feedstocks for the petrochemicals and the fertilizers.
You would at least have the energy to drive some of the reactions. So, I mean, that's the critical thing. And
so, Jerry, could you just tell us about the organization you're involved with?
Sure. The Land Institute is a nonprofit, private research and education organization centered in Salina, Kansas, in the heartland of the U.S. It's been going for about 30 years, and actually our 30th anniversary will be next year. So we have a proven track record of working on alternatives, primarily in agriculture. The focus of our research currently is the development of perennial grain cropping systems. The reason that we're focused on developing perennial grain crops is that when we look around the planet, pretty much all natural ecosystems primarily feature perennial plant communities in diverse mixtures. In contrast to that, all of our grain crops currently are annuals and primarily grown in monoculture. So essentially, the backbone of civilization as we know it, annual grain crops, are the exact opposite of what natural ecosystems featured. And natural ecosystems provided clean air, fertile soils, filtered air, and so forth, provided the planet with the ecosystem functions that are vital to a healthy planet. And our annual grain cropping systems are doing the exact opposite. So, although in a sense the Land Institute is an ideas place, we are very focused in our research on developing perennial grain systems.
And in the history of agriculture, have there been any traditional perennial grain varieties?
For the most part, no. There have been some few very minor examples of cultures using the seeds from perennial plants for, you know, as an important part of their diet. But by and large, for the past 8,000 to 10,000 years, efforts to develop agriculture have focused on annual grain crops. You know, one of the reasons, there's several reasons why grain crops are so important to civilization. They're low in water content, that makes them storable. It makes them easily transportable. They're high in caloric content and high in protein. So that's really what's fueled global civilization as we know it. And that's why civilizations have focused on grain crops.
sits second only in caloric density to fossil fuels, I believe.
Oh, is that right? Okay, that was something that I didn't realize. But very energy dense, storable, non-perishable, essentially.
Just out of interest, have you read the book or articles by Richard Manning?
Oh, no, I haven't. But Richard Manning he's come through the Land Institute, and I think that we've been influenced by him, and he's been influenced by us. Some of his works, some of the things that he's written, essentially come right out of the Land Institute's whole mission.
He talks about grain-based agriculture as those type of plants which have very small root structures and very high yields of seeds are the kind of things which thrive after catastrophic circumstances like massive floods.
Right.
And he characterises farming techniques associated with growing grains as like an annual catastrophe. Permanently punishing the land.
Yes, I think that's a pretty good description of what's required to maintain the productivity of annual crops. And they're also very reliant on readily available nutrients that, you know, in natural catastrophes are available through just disturbance. But in the case of agriculture, those supplies have to be those inputs have to be supplied by humans. So very reliant on typically off-site expensive inputs of resources.
So could you just go over the advantages of the perennial crops?
Yeah, perennial crops are typically much deeper rooted. Their root systems are typically much more massive, and they are active for a much longer period of time throughout the year than annual crops, than the root systems of annuals. So essentially what you're doing there is tapping into resources completely unavailable to annual crops for much of the year. The longer growing season of perennial crops, you're using sunlight for longer periods of time. Anytime the soil is warm enough and that there's enough soil moisture available and nutrients are available, perennial plants are at work using those resources. So essentially it's kind of it's a way to tap into much larger pools of resources than we're working with annual crops. Annual crops, you know, are only really active in significant volumes of the soil for weeks or maybe a couple of months, whereas perennials, much deeper soil layers and also much longer periods of time.
So the primary product, or the amount of biomass that can be produced, is...
That's correct. It's greater with perennials. Certainly can be. If you add up the below ground and above ground, almost definitely. Oftentimes the above ground productivity is greater because you do have that longer growing season to essentially fix more carbon out of the atmosphere, which is primary productivity. That's what fuels a planet, essentially. And so that greater productivity means a lot in terms of managing nutrients and water, providing wildlife habitat. When we leave much of our cropland bare or unproductive for much of the year through the production of annual crops, we're not only missing a lot of opportunities, but we're wasting a lot of resources that are irrecoverable. So that's one of the strong advantages to a perennial system.
So the wasted resources, are you talking about topsoil loss?
Several things there. Let's just take an early spring day. In a native perennial system, and really we're talking about any natural ecosystem the world around, whether it's tropical rainforests, our tallgrass prairie in North America and alpine meadow. Those are essentially diverse perennial plant communities. And so a typical spring day, the rains are falling, the soil is warm enough for biological activity, and perennial plants are using the sunlight, thriving in the warmth of the soil and the availability of nutrients. In a crop field, the soil is warm enough for biological activity, but often not warm enough to germinate a seed that was planted that year. And annual crops have to be planted every year, so you're relying on conditions being just right. Soil has to be warm enough, it has to be moist, but not too wet. If it's too cool or too wet, the seed rots. And you have no roots down in the soil profile to take advantage of the nutrients and water deeper down in the soil.